Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's get started.
Straight from New York, yo, yo, this handsome ass.
You are now tuned in to Al Joe the Funk Master. Watch your grill yoga knock that cold faster. Talking shit, now we talking facts. With the mountain off the back, you in trouble, came to burst your bubble. I don't shelter punches, they find home on your mind about a double. This the weekly scraps. You don't need a map, GPS, I'm right here to lead a dash. The world doesn't know it needs, but I grow disease. Planet fuck a name and the fame, only legacy remains. Remember the name, Al Jermaine Sterling.
It ain't safe.
Motherfuckers.
How do you not like that?
Oh, it's a fire intro.
What's up, motherfuckers? Welcome back to the Weekly Scraps.
Let's get it.
It's a wrap.
Welcome back, Funk.
I don't even know what we call this. What do we call this? Terramana and Friends. The episode Terramana and Friends.
Back.
Oh, man. So this was completely random. I just said, you know what? Let's do a podcast with everybody. You know, we had a couple drinks. Steve is the only one who did not partake in the festivities. Lee, we're going to call him Lee for this episode. We have two Steves in the house. We got Big Steve. We got Little Steve.
Hey, you guys decide which one's which, all right? Yeah. You look at the camera.
I think we already know. I think we already know.
What are we talking about here?
He sat up straight. He's like, hold up.
Wait, who's the big guy around here?
God.
Who's Little Steve?
I can't believe this is happening right now.
Hold on, drop a comment. Who you think is Little or Big Steve? Let me know right now. Come on. No, it's done.
So, coming off a big fight weekend, obviously just getting back from Vegas. We are back in the house in beautiful Long Island. Thanks for taking me back in, because I felt like everyone thought I kind of betrayed them and moved to Vegas. Even though I am moving to Vegas, but it's still Long Island.
That's
at
official.
Heart. It is, well, almost official.
Did you make that, like, did you let that public, like, let the public know that? Not yet.
I might be attacked. I don't want to get attacked.
I see people asking, that's why.
Foreshadowing right there.
Yeah, foreshadowing. But hopefully the people of Long Island still loves me, you know? What's that from Peyton Foley? He's like, I ain't snitching on nobody from uptown, because, you know, when I come back, I'm going to still be king. The streets going to still love me, you know? So it's kind of like that. So,
well, thank you. Yeah, we'll see.
Something like that. So did you guys watch the fights this past weekend?
Yeah. For the most part.
For the most part. Now, I didn't get to watch all of them because I was at a pool party. Boom.
Oh, my God. All right, let's talk about this. This guy has not stopped since his freaking fight.
Where'd you go, though?
Marquee. Okay. It's actually a really, really, really good time. Vegas is actually somewhat opened up. It's not entirely open, but kind of, sort of, half capacity. They're not taking general admission. They're only taking reservations.
Okay.
Normally, a day bed, which is like $250, sometimes $300, is on the weekends. They were asking for $1,000 minimum. Somehow, some way, the crew and I end up spending over $2,000. And I checked the account, and I was just like, this is beyond my rational thinking ever. Even when I'm drunk,
ridiculous.
I never spend that cash, that
that's
kind of money.
That's actually insane.
But Ajo got it, man. I don't know.
don't give him that. Stop it.
You got it. So
run with it, right?
We split between four guys, though. That's four guys, they're two girls.
Okay.
So, you know, everyone was having fun, split it, you know, obviously a quarter each way. So it was all good, you know. We did win a bonus.
We
did win a bonus.
Wins one fight 6 months ago, and now he won't stop talking about it, all right? We need to get him back on track, people, all right?
3 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. What do you think about the fights this weekend, Aljo, that you kind of watched somewhat?
I thought they were good for what I saw while jumping in the pool and then back out of the pool to grab my tequila. So, with that being said, I didn't get to watch everything, but the ones I did get to watch were pretty fun fights. I did get to catch up on some of them this morning.
There's some good ones.
A couple of bangers. So, the Burgos fight,
we're
not even going to go to the main event yet, because that's a whole... That was a fun fight.
No, the main event?
No.
I'm talking about the Burgos fight. Yeah, the Burgos.
Yeah, I got offended.
No.
To all my fellow wrestlers out there. But no, the Burgos fight, so the clips that I did get to see... Whenever I was coming back into the little day bed, I saw Burgos chopping down Emmett Smith's leg.
Yeah.
Josh Emmett's leg.
He's been drinking.
Yeah, I've been drinking.
We're playing football now.
You're right. And it looked like it was going downhill for him. So, you know, obviously I go back, take a dip. I come back. The fight's going a different way. I'm just kind of confused because I'm looking at it like, well, what just happened? How did he lose the fight? From what I saw, he was winning. He was crushing the action. And It just looked good. It looked like Emmett was on one leg and the fight was going to be close to being stopped with those new calf kicks that everyone is doing.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the decision did not go that way.
Did not go that way, no. I mean, Burgos' chin is freaking unreal. Like, good for him for taking granite. The shot. Granted.
I'm getting new granite countertops in the house, by the way.
Really happy about and that. He hasn't stopped
Shane
talking about
Burgos, granite chin.
Call him Burgos. Burgos counters.
Got the Burgos countertops.
No.
Did you watch the fight?
I'm gonna be honest, that fight card was whack. That's why I didn't watch
Man.
It. They stack up all the pay-per-view fights with too much good fights. Fight nights, you gotta separate it.
You
want to
call
sorry.
Him Big Steve? Hmm?
They have to do it that way.
No. Look, I don't disagree with that. I'm happy that this pay-per-view that's coming up is pretty stacked. But the last few cards have been
Fight Island. Fight Island.
If you put. And this is no offense to Jessica I, but Jessica I, Cynthia Calvillo as a main event was kind of offensive to me as a fan. But people watch, so it is what it is. No, that freaking Burgos-Emmett fight was so fun, though. I thought Emmett was going to get out of there the first round just based on him having one leg 20 seconds into the fight.
Yeah, 20 seconds into the fight, his knee buckled.
That's
crazy. I was like, any guy, it kind of reminded me of O'Malley versus Andre Sukumta.
Yeah,
100%. On one leg in the third round, Sukumta goes for a fucking takedown.
No, it's crazy.
Who are you and where is your coach to yell at you and tell you to keep it standing?
Oh, look, I can't even blame, I can't blame Burgos, I'm going to. But also his coaching staff, what the hell was that? They should be like, chop that leg down. Every time he threw a kick, he basically landed it.
Hurt him.
Yeah,
hurt front him. Kicks.
Front kicks.
Leg kicks.
Every kick, yeah. But that's, look, there's only one team in New York that's undefeated right now.
Ooh, who's that?
It's Sarah Longo out here.
Ooh, tell him again. Talk to him, Steve. Talk to him, Steve.
That's Sarah Longo's people, all right? Check it out.
Okay.
But no, seriously, that's a crazy game plan to me. Like, after a guy's on one, like, you see him hobbling. How are you not chopping away? It just made no sense to me, but...
I don't know, man. I mean, it's tough. It's a testament to, you know, his willpower, man.
I respect that.
You like that one, right? It reminded me of the...
For guys who don't know, his name is Will.
It's
Will Power.
Very happy about that.
Little gem right there.
It was a good fight, though.
Good fight.
But I tell you what, there's one thing that I noticed watching the Burgos fight versus Emmett. It seemed like when he decided to just utilize the jab and stay on the outside and pick him apart, he was able to do that. But then he wanted to engage in the firefight and give Emmett all these chances to land those right haymakers, which seemed to find a home over and over again. Start going to the body, coming over the top, and landing, putting him down two times.
Yeah.
And he rocked him a bunch, man.
No,
that was a tough fight. Emmett definitely weathered the early storm with his knee, with that early adversity, and managed to stay in there for 15 minutes.
It's crazy.
And almost looked like he was going to get Shane Burgos out of there a couple of times.
Yeah, that third round, I thought he was going to get him out of there. But, again, Burgos is tough as hell, too. Again, it is just annoying because you want to see a guy, you know, be the best version of himself. And I just feel like Burgos isn't that right now. You know, he's very good. He's really talented. And his stand-up is insane. But
I bet on Burgos.
I also bet on Burgos. So maybe that's why I'm a little salty.
For the clean – I didn't literally bet because I don't actually bet money on fights.
Okay.
But I thought the cleaner striking, technical striking of Burgos was going to beat Josh Emmett, who was just more of a overhand right, power puncher, and a very strong wrestler. But I didn't think his technical boxing was as clean as crisp as the Burgos, who likes to slip and rip and tee you up a little bit. But he didn't get an opportunity to showcase that. And I thought he was going to use a different game plan when he was chopping down those calves. And then he started to switch to the inside leg kick.
Mm-hmm.
Questionable decisions on his part. Obviously, he's still one of the best. That was one of the probably a candidate for fight of the year at the same time. So it's hard to take away anything from him. But at the same time, I'm looking at it for a perspective on trying to get the dub. Get your hand raised and catapult yourself into the upper echelon of the featherweight division, which is a dog pound. That's another dog pound cat. I don't want to say cat fight. But there's a lot of big players in that division.
Yeah.
Beat. You got Calvin Kattar. You got Ige now in that division. You got Edson Barboza, who just came, who I thought arguably beat Ige in my opinion. And a lot of top contenders: Max Holloway, Volkanovski. So.
Yeah. You got two, I mean, that's a ranked fight, two ranked guys. You know, you would want to see, again, that's the only thing. You just want to see the best versions of them. And it kind of sucks for Emmett because he only had the one knee, and it sucks for Burgos because apparently he just, you know, couldn't think. Just, I thought it was just poor fight IQ, really.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to knock it because
no.
And my brother Kelvin, he fights also an amateur. And he always talks about, like, oh, if he was smart, he realized he was getting outboxed, he should have switched up the game plan, having a 5.5 reach advantage.
Yeah.
5.5-inch reach advantage. And instead of him switching it up and just going to, like, you know, let me stay on the outside and picking you apart. I said to my brother, I go, it's different when you get in there. Burgos came and pushed the pace and had Emmett backing up the entire fight. But had he decided to stay on the outside, that gives a different outlook and perspective now for Emmett, who's like, you know what? I'm on the outside, and he's sitting here. He's playing safe. He's not pressing me forward. Mm-hmm. So now his mindset switches to go forward and press the action back the other way. So you don't know which way is going to be most effective. I thought Burgos could have still pushed forward and still kept him on the outside and utilizing his footwork, because I think he has very good footwork to back out, blitz in, slip and rip a couple of times looking for that uppercut, which landed a couple of times and looked like it stunned Emmett. But at the same time, it just, I don't know, like you said, the game plan was questionable.
Yeah.
I understand pleasing the fans, but at the end of the day, you want to go home with two paychecks.
Two paychecks.
You don't want to go home with half the pay. So if you're showing up to make $75,000, you need to win to get the other $75,000. So to go home with just half the paycheck, it's just like, yeah, I had an entertaining fight, but what else did that leave me with? Yeah, the fans love me for that fight.
Exactly.
But did I need to get paid. I got to pay the bills. I got kids.
It was like Marab after his last fight. He said it perfectly. He was like, no, like, I can make this an exciting fight, try to go crazy, or I get the win and I get two paychecks. You know.
And we know what Marab's crazy looks like. No, it's just blitzkrieg. The definition of blitzkrieg in the history books.
You hear Sean O'Malley.
All out war.
Like when he was talking about, wrestlers that are afraid to fight, I'm like, no, Marab is definitely not.
And he said Marab's name.
I'm like, dude, you have no idea. I hope he thinks that. I really do. Because I'm like, dude, you don't understand who you're dealing with. Like, this dude's actually crazy. Like,
I hope Marab gets that fight.
I don't know. That'd be an awesome fight for Marab. And Marab's smart too. So he'll know, like, all right, I can't just be outside, you know, being crazy with this guy either.
1,000%. But you see Marab train. It's, what do you think?
Yeah, but would you really take that fight?
If I'm O'Malley?
Yeah.
Oh, 100% not. But don't say the guy's looking to hold your legs.
Yeah, like he's scared to fight. Like, dude, this guy is going. This guy is born on the streets of Georgia, people. Like, this is like a real thing. Like,
that's all he knows.
You've seen the videos of him in 2011 punching from his ass. Like, that dude just wants the fight. So, no, it's definitely you want another drink, don't you?
No, I'm still working. I'm still working.
maybe I do.
Other than that, I mean, we had the main event, Curtis Blaydes, Volkov.
Yeah.
Good. Dominant fight.
Yeah,
Curtis Blaydes ran out of gas.
Man,
I actually got taken down by Volkov, which was unexpected in the fourth round.
Yeah.
And it almost looked like Volkov was trying to get him out of there with those little pity-pat punches, which was hilarious to watch because it's like, dude, you need to put some body weight behind that.
The worst part is, though, like, Curtis did nothing. Like, in the fifth round, he was done.
He was exhausted.
Exhausted. Even when he's doing the post-fight interview. This post-fight interview is like 30 minutes after the fight. I'm like, dude, oh no. Like, yo, you can't be doing this right now on live TV.
Did you watch it?
I feel like when you have the control, the judges don't give you it.
Yeah.
That's what he did. He just sat there like,
well, no, of what course. Can they Look, say, you it know? Was a smart game plan. It was the right game plan. But
you played a small way.
No, but in terms of the UFC, we know how the UFC is.
Of course, that's
you
want
to see exciting fights. If you want to fight for that world title, you have to give them something to highlight and clip up to sell you to the casual fans and obviously the hardcore fans. The hardcore fans already know.
Yeah, of course.
But the casual fans who don't know, they're like, well, why should I give a fuck about Curtis Blaydes? He goes out there and he hugs people.
Oh, look at it this way. You're not paying him enough money.
Oh, 100%.
Why would you risk yourself that way?
No, of course.
If you get the easy W doing that.
Okay, but I'm going to play devil's advocate here. John Fitch fought for the belt against GSP, got dominated.
Yeah.
Tried to come back to fight GSP. I think he was on like a 10-fight win streak.
Something crazy like that.
And then lost one fight and the UFC cut him.
Wow.
So it's like, you're trying to get both paychecks.
Yeah, he had a couple losses. Not in a row, but he had that Hendricks loss, then he lost to Maya.
Fitch?
Yeah.
I thought it was the one, and then they just axed him.
He had that crazy win streak, then he lost to Hendricks in that, like, 10-second knockout.
Oh, yes,
and
left hand.
Then he had a little win streak again, and then lost to a Damian.
You sure? I thought they cut him right after that. I thought he lost one, and they just said, fuck this guy, let's get him out of here.
But they were all John.
Look, I'm going to be my own
Jamie.
That's
the thing.
Now.
They're all John Fitch fights, so people don't remember them. The problem. Like, this is going to be a Curtis Blaydes. That's the problem with Curtis Blaydes. I love Curtis Blaydes, what he says. Because on the mic, he was spitting hot fire, man. He was saying,
Because I spit hot fire.
He was like, look, he said exactly what you said. Fighters deserve to be paid more. He even introduced, he said that 18% number, he said
the right
things.
You're right.
But honestly.
Yeah, you're right.
How do you think that fight was going to go?
Oh, really? Like,
he said it. He said it
before the fight. He said, if you guys are expecting a 25-minute kickboxing fight, don't watch. This is exactly where it's like, I'm going to ragdoll this dude. And he did. I can't blame the man. Like,
hug that man to death.
No, he won.
It's just tough to watch because I understand it's entertainment and it's also the fact of getting your hand raised.
Yeah, that's...
So as an athlete in that position, you struggle with the happy medium of like, mm-hmm. what do I do? Mm-hmm. Do I go out and try to please the fans or do I go out and just try to get both paychecks? Because mm-hmm. I got kids to feed, so I got bills to pay. But at the same time, it's like if you want to get to that upper echelon and you believe you can get there, I do personally believe you're going out there and taking that little bit more of a risk, if that makes sense. You know, just you don't want to do too much, but you want to take some type of chances where you're going to at least give yourself a position to look good in front of the UFC so they can at least be like, well, at least he tried. You can just... Acting, just act. I call it Hollywood. I feel
like
he's just
stuck now. Yeah, well, it's like the opposite of the Shane Burgos fight. Shane Burgos, you know, we were just talking about it.
Did too much. Mm-hmm.
Did a little too much. Good he could have had a smarter game plan, you know, got the W still. But Curtis Blaydes did the opposite way, you know. Smart game plan, of course.
What's his rank right now? What is his rank?
Blaydes?
Yeah.
I think he was fourth.
Nah, coming to that fight. But he's stuck, man. He lost to Ngannou twice.
His UFC debut. Rematch.
He said he wants to wait for like something else, but like...
What else is
Because he didn't dominate. He didn't put himself in a position that he could get, like skip over Ngannou. And no one wants to see him lose to Ngannou again.
And yeah, he killed Overeem with those elbows.
Yes.
I was hoping that he was going to do that, but he just looked so physically exhausted. It's just like, damn, there's nothing this guy can do right now besides just try to get that W. And I get it, man.
Of course.
But like I said, I just think it's that happy medium. And I understand because for me, it's like, yo, I need to go home with both paychecks. I'm not trying to go home with half.
Yeah, 100%.
But at the same time, I know if I want to fight for a world title, when I'm on a fight card with Cody Garbrandt and Sean O'Malley and Cody Stamen, I need to perform. Otherwise, I could get leapfrogged.
Yeah, that's
even though against a Cody Garbrandt who lost 3 fights in a row.
Yeah.
These guys were talking about putting him in a potential... title eliminated. Get the fuck out of him. You got knocked out 3 times.
Nonsense.
I don't give a fuck what you say. You got knocked out 3 times.
That's unfortunate.
TJ Dillashaw on steroids or not. EPO. I don't give a fuck. You lost 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
Pedro Munoz. And guess what happened? Who beat Pedro?
Didn't you dominate him?
Oh, wow.
So it's like, for him to even be ranked 5 right now, and no disrespect to Cody.
No.
It doesn't even make any sense. How's he ranked 5 in Pedro who knocked him out in the first round?
Doesn't make sense.
At all.
Clueless.
I mean, I don't know who does the rankings, but it's just bullshit anyway.
Oh, 1,000%.
I think it's more of a hype thing. He just got a good knockout, like,
and he's got a very good following.
Yeah, that's the big problem. He has a big following. That's what made him the co-main event. Let's be honest. You know, Sun Tzu wasn't drawing that co-main event status. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So like, that's the thing. Like,
plus we did the UFC countdown.
They didn't even air
our countdown. We did a UFC countdown. My debut on the UFC countdown. I bring Ray Longo in. Quarantine virus and all, you know the whole corona thing, and he came out. Matt never came out. Matt didn't come out. He wasn't able to make it. But Ray comes out. I'm thinking this is gonna be the most exciting thing because I'm super pumped up. I'm like, I want to get my coaches on here. Come Sunday, we're ready to watch, and I'm just like, I'm just looking. What's that meme with Puffy, Puff Daddy, and the guy who's just looking is like. So I'm sitting there, I'm waiting, like...
just stone-faced.
And there's nothing happening, I'm like...
Here's what I'll say. I remember we were at the Airbnb watching that before.
Salty.
Like, I was so fucking pissed. I'm like, what was the... It really did feel like, at this point, they're almost actively working against Aljo. Like, you know, fuck this guy. Like, we're going to film him and still not use it. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, don't me know. I just need an Irish accent. I think everything is going to be all right.
I will say, look, what gave me a lot of confidence that fight week 2, though, is Aljo's attitude towards that was perfect. He said the right things. He was like, look, you know, I can't really control any of this stuff. None of this is going to matter unless I win my fight Saturday. I was like, all right, look, that, to me personally, I was like, all right, that calmed me down. Yeah. So I was like, all right, that's the it's right attitude.
Mindset.
You're right.
Yeah,
like, what
100%.
Else can we do here? So as pissed as I was about that whole situation, I think... It did help, like, it made me a lot more comfortable because I'm like, all right, Aljo's in the right headspace, and I think we're going to be just fine. And clearly, we were. It worked out pretty well, I think, in the end.
We did good. We did all right. I think we did okay.
I think it worked out pretty well.
Maybe we could have done a little less time, but other than that, I think we did okay.
I wanted to see a little more. Man. Can I get 30 seconds more? Like,
hey, man, I don't get paid for the duration of the fight. I get paid to get in and get
the attempt,
fuck out of
there. I was just pouring a drink, and then they're like, yeah, he choked him out. I was like, what the fuck, man? I put the drink. I didn't see the replay.
That's great.
One of their fights
as soon as I seen you get the takedown, though, I knew it was a wrap. I was like, yes. I seen you like, I was like, it's a wrap.
I'm trying to think what other good fights. I mean, Raquel Pennington and Tisha Torres. I don't know if you guys know their couples. They date female fighters, and
they both got
a win. Well, I've hung out with both of them, so so they're cool in my book, you know.
Okay.
And even though they did fight people that I didn't know, but at the end of the day, it's cool to see something like that. Like, I want to say the first lesbian couple in the UFC.
I guess that's the right.
Is that the
politically correct
term? And should I just say couple?
Yeah,
the first couple in the UFC, UFC.
There we go. That's good.
And they go out there and they both get a win.
Yeah. Nice.
After me questioning Tisha Torres' motivation and whether or not her heart was still in it, and obviously Raquel Pennington, they call themselves Rocknado, which was hilarious. I thought it was pretty good. The Tiny Tornado and Rocky. So that was kind of cool.
I mean, when you were talking about it last week on the podcast, you were saying, you know, Tisha, she's fought the best. Like,
everybody.
Joanna, everyone, yeah.
Pretty much all former champions.
Yeah, basically. So like, 100%, I think it's fair to say, like, you know, what do you want to be at this point? What are you doing fighting at this point? So I was also, you know, questioning what she was looking to do, but I'm really happy for her to get the win. She is still, like, a mainstay in the division, so it's still cool to see her still in there, like, you know, mixing up with some of the best people in there. I didn't really watch the Raquel Pennington fight. That's the one where she clinched up.
And I like Mary Renault.
Yeah,
she's she's a really good black belt.
Yeah, she's tough.
But those knees in the clinch, she had zero answer.
Nothing.
Literally, like, no answer.
Every time she grabbed that clinch, we were watching that fight, actually, and I said, at this point, I don't know why Raquel doesn't just walk into that clinch. She just clearly, just walk, grab it, because clearly, you know, this girl has no idea what to do from here. Because every time she grabs it.
That's fascinating.
No, it really was very interesting to watch.
Very fascinating, to say the least. Just unleashing knees, unleashing elbows, and Marion Renault just not knowing, like, what to do. She didn't, like, try to pummel. She didn't try to overtie and
shoulder
roll. At one
point,
she tried
to, like, rip her face away.
She didn't try to... I didn't really see her palming.
Yeah.
And just trying to get one shoulder in the middle to really, like, deviate the clinch and take away the knee so that she's sideways and then she could try to pummel in to try to utilize double underhooks. But she didn't do any of that. And I do think that's a lack of... obviously skill, but it's a lack of maybe the coaching and the preparation for this fight.
Right.
I do believe Rocky has done that in previous fights, so for them not to have addressed that, like, you know me, obviously I'm not comparing myself to everybody else, but as a fighter mentality, personally, I like to leave no stones unturned. If there's a potential position that I look like you might have looked good in, I'm like, fuck that. We're working on that, and I'm going to implement that, even if it's one, two, or three times throughout the entire training camp. At least I know I touched upon that, and I have some type of understanding. So if you guys are in the corner and you guys are talking to me, then I can at least be like, oh, yeah, we worked on that.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about. So now I can try to make those adjustments going into the next round.
I mean, especially at the highest level, like, you have to have a game plan, and, like, you should be able to know what your opponent's going to do. And these girls were ranked in the top, 5-10 division. So
definitely 10.
Yeah,
definitely
in the top 10. But, I mean, that's kind of... And, I'm definitely going to chat on. But, like, look, it's just kind of an indictment on the whole women's division that, you know, a girl... I don't want to attack, like, the entire... But this was a top 10 fight, and the fact that there was literally no answer was kind of really disappointing to... me, just being as a fan, like, man, like, how does this girl, top 10 in the world, you know, get to this position and just have no clue what to do right here? It's kind of sad to watch.
Yeah. Did you guys watch that fight at all?
No, that was fine.
I'm going to say it again. It was a whack card. They didn't hype it enough, you know?
No, there's a couple good fights, but there weren't really big names on there.
Let's talk about the Austin Hubbard fight.
That was a great fight, first of all.
Rochalt. I don't call him Rochalt, like Jared Rochalt.
Let's call him Max.
Let's call Max.
Yeah.
Max works. Did you watch the first fight of the night?
Bro, as I don't
think. It was a whack fight card. I'd rather drink my liquor. I'm sorry.
Did you watch the first fight?
Yes.
Okay. What were your thoughts?
I mean, I really like watching just the first.
Pull this up for me. Just a little bit.
The first round, you know, I didn't see that. There was no foreshadowing that homie was going
to
be like, yeah, I'm done. He was hitting
the outcome, right? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, like, he was hitting some nice, like, grappling moves. I mean, I don't really know the jiu-jitsu game like that, but I seen him hit a single leg, step over it. He was trying to dive into, like, submissions and stuff. So it was, like, exciting, like, to watch as a fan, you know.
Breakdown, we should go over that.
Oh, that was awesome.
See, right?
Yeah. I love that. Look, it was a fun fight, honestly. Like, and that kid, Max, 5-0, 10 days notice or whatever. You know, that is a tough circumstance.
Call it.
That is a tough one, man. Look.
What you got to do the eyes?
Call it. Oh, my God. Look. First of all, Ariel Helwani, Luke Thomas, all these guys got to, like,
call
with 0-0 records. Like, what are they saying, man? Like, what are these guys saying? Like,
call it.
That corner should never be allowed to corner again. Regardless.
I don't care.
I think the corner hunter did well. Like, you want to try to encourage your athlete. Well, like,
especially, when, like, this guy, Aljo, has been drinking. All right.
Call it.
Cut him off. Slide it over.
Saying, bro. Like,
call it. All right. I'm done.
No, that kid, Max. Look,
I'm done.
As much as we want to shit on Drysdale, that kid Max has to live with that forever, 100%. Man. He has to look in the mirror and remember. Right,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
get your thoughts out because I got some words.
No. Oh shit.
Hot player. Well,
and I see like all these journalists and freaking reporters that have never done a competition in their freaking lives, going like, "This corner, like, how dare they? They weren't protecting their fighter." I'm like, bro, what are you shut up? Like, are you kidding? This dude, this wasn't like, you know, Dan Hooker, Edson Barboza, or even Anthony Smith a few weeks ago when he was getting bodied, and honestly, it's a responsibility of the corner at that point to call it. This dude is tired. He's gassed. I see he's gassed. I need to get him back in the game for a second, something. And obviously, after like the fourth, fifth one, where he's like, I'm done. That's when I'm like, all right.
10 days.
He said, well,
the only thing I'm going to say about it is, like, when you look at the top fighters, they're like, yo, I'm ready to die in the cage. Yeah. I heard Aljo say it before, Adesanya say it, so on and so forth.
That's the truth.
Homie got to the end of the second and was like, take me out.
He really said it. Look,
I'm done. I don't want to do this no more. When I heard, I don't want to do this more, I said, don't go train no more, man. You just like...
No.
You going to call me or call it?
Hey, man, you look hammered right now. You need a ride home? Call it.
You can call your Uber?
Man, this
I'm
guy.
I'm surprised there's no memes out right now.
No. Like, you know, people are so freaking sensitive nowadays. They're like, 100%. Oh, man, poor guy. It's like, shut the fuck. This guy. Look, again.
Hey, man, you know what you're signing up for.
You know what you... This was a fist fight. I thought we agreed to this.
Gladiators.
You didn't see this at all? You didn't see the highlights? None of it?
I heard about it, but...
Look,
sorry,
homie,
was
quit.
That important?
No,
homie, quit.
Card.
No, right,
so here it is. Homie makes his debut 5 fights into his professional career. He's predominantly a jiu-jitsu artist. He did wrestle, so he had some wrestling experience. Robert Drysdale is a very good, well-renowned BJJ specialist, at least, and he's actually fought himself. So I understand all that going in. He's fighting a guy, Austin Hubbard, UFC debut fights, Davi Ramos, couple-time world BJJ champion, goes the distance, and have some moments where it looks like he might actually come up on the outside, the other side of that victory and get the win and take it away from Davi Ramos on short notice. And then you look at him, he fights Mark Mattson. Olympic wrestler, silver medalist in Greco. Gets slammed around, comes back in the third round. I think he breaks
attacking
it over the bone and almost gets him out of there. So now you got this kid coming in 5-0, lack of experience.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a tough fight, 10 days notice. Obviously, probably not training because of the whole quarantine. We don't know what his training situation was. We saw Zarouk take a fight last week against Tyson Nam. What happened with him? He got knocked the fuck out in the first round. Exactly. And we see time and time again, guys may be good, but it's a lack of experience fighting at the UFC level.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's your coach's job to protect you from yourself. But this kid was trying to protect himself from the coaches and himself in this case. And that's a plot twist right there.
Yeah.
Usually, the ref and the coaches was to protect you from yourself from staying in there taking too much damage. This kid said, no, coach, I'm good. I want out. Call it. I don't care. When he said, I don't care, I was like, you have to physically evaluate the situation. No, you're a world champion. No. I don't care. Call it. I don't want to be here anymore.
Homie shouldn't train, man.
At that point, what do you do?
I'm not coming to work on Monday. I'm not coming to the gym Monday, man.
That's like I'm hammered. I had a long night bender. I know I have a huge meeting. And you're like, bro, you gotta do this. This is life-changing. This meeting is life-changing. This is the meeting that could put you and break that glass ceiling and get you to the next platform. But instead, you go, call it.
I don't care.
Fuck you.
I don't care. fuck it, I'll, whatever, however long it takes me to get back to this position, I'll do it. So I understand both sides. And as a fighter, I saw Cody Stamen comment on one of the pictures on Instagram saying, like, stop making this kid who quit more famous than he should be. And I get exactly where he's coming from. They're making
out to be some sort of freaking martyr. I'm like, bro, this guy, look, I respect anyone that goes in there. Like, you got to. Like, anyone who steps on, like, steps in the cage, that's a ballsy thing to do in general. But this guy is not a hero. Like, people are making him out to be like, oh,
Dan Hooker.
Dan Hooker. They are shitting on him.
Marshmallow.
They call him a marshmallow.
Like, how do you not know? This is not word for word, but how do you not know that you're made of marshmallow before you get to the UFC? Which is insane.
And you see all these freaking Twitter and keyboard warriors like, Dan Hooker, how dare you? I'm like, dude, Dan Hooker was about to die against Edson Barboza.
Yes.
He was
Don't ever question Dan Hooker's heart. He knows what he signed up for. 100%. And he knows why he stepped into the octagon
In that case, I thought the corner should have called it. I'm like, that case, I'm like, dude, this dude's organs, head, body, legs, everything are like beaten down. Now I can see if the corner called, and he wasn't even down for that. He's like, no, I'm still staying in here.
And he said, Rob, call it.
Call it.
He said, Rob, call it.
Come on.
And he's almost like imploring him. Yeah. And at that point, I'm like, and this is from my perspective. Watching, I was like, it didn't look like he took that much of a beating.
Yeah, that's how I feel.
But I don't know what he's feeling on the inside. Too. Maybe this is the first time he's gone 3 rounds. I don't know his record. I don't know his career. Maybe this is the first time he's gone 3 rounds. Maybe this is the first time he ever felt adversity. All his tricks didn't work. Mm-hmm. And obviously training on 10 days, cutting all that weight. I don't know what his inside organs felt like getting punished.
That's a good point.
So it's like, damn, I don't know. If this kid is saying, call it, in his UFC debut, and it's just like, fuck it, I'm out of here. Cash me my check, and I'm going home, and I'll get ready for the next one. I get it. But at the same time, he does have to live with the fact that he quit on the stool and he called his own fight.
In his UFC debut.
In his UFC debut in front of everyone who's home in quarantine.
I think I actually made it worse having no one there.
Really. And it's going to be on all the social media platforms for him, for everyone to watch time and time again. And they highlighted it. Call it. And someone, I think it was DC or whoever it was, they said, I counted him saying, call it nine times.
Nine times.
How are you going to feel when you go back and you watch it like, damn, that did not look as bad as I felt?
If he decides to retire off of this and goes like,
he's not going to retire.
Well, let's say the kid was like, look,
if he retires, I got to slaughter this guy.
I'd actually be happier about that, because at least in that moment, he understood, like, okay, I really don't want to do this that bad. Like, you know, like, at least that's a realistic understanding of yourself. Like, you assess the situation, like, I don't like this that much. Like, I don't really care about this that much.
See, I don't want to be here.
Oh, that's true. Look, clearly. I will say, I thought a happy medium. Like,
and I don't want to be here.
I can't talk about that situation. You know he's going through.
No, exactly.
Look, I can't really say anything about it. I've seen
Ariel and DC talk about it a little bit this morning, but DC said that, like, he's spoken to his coaches, and he said this is, like, kind of sometimes a mental case. Yeah, like, that's what you need to do to push him through it, and he just did not get through that situation.
Exactly.
I mean, DC was the one who was,
you know. This dude, Ariel.
Wait, you didn't see Ariel hitting the...
Oh, the little bounce ball.
Yeah, you didn't see that?
Good job, Ariel. Congratulations.
Hands. And that's his first time in UFC, right?
Yeah.
Me? I'd rather you beat the shit out of me and lose it that way. Me calling out my first time in the UFC.
Turtle up.
Yeah, right?
Beat my ass.
Not even just that, but, like, here's what I said, and I know we talked about it earlier. Like, if I'm in that situation, I'm telling Ray, like, Ray, I'm fucking exhausted. I got about a minute in me, maybe, like, 30 seconds. If I'm going to go Hail Mary right now. I'm going to go everything balls to the wall. If I don't get this finish in the next minute, I'm probably going to get my ass beat, so you should call it. You know, I would like you to throw in the towel after a minute. And then hopefully he understands after that, like, look, at least he's going to give me everything. Like, this is...
Wait, what round was that he called out?
Third.
Going into the third. Arguably 1-1. Like, it could have been 2-0, but arguably 1-1.
Just based on the grappling exchanges?
True.
But that second...
Well, he was losing in grappling?
We all know. He wasn't winning.
Look, he definitely wasn't winning that round, but who knows? Like, he could at least try some bullshit. No.
He was not winning that third round.
His grappling was his strength. I could see him just, you know, like, he could have went back in, dive in on a double, pull guard, like, slow him down.
I think he shot one time in the second round, and after that, he shot no more.
Yeah, but
his power bar was like a Kuma in the final stage, where you're beating Kuma's ass, and he's just like,
look, he had that beautiful Imanari roll into a double takedown. That was gorgeous. But then nothing.
Right at the beginning of the second round.
Yeah, right at the beginning. But then, like, look, these are explosive movements too. So it's like, man, like, just sit to your butts. Maybe try that. Like, try something, man. But
do a Ryan Hall hook kick.
Yeah, something. But to be like, Like, to go to your corner and be like, call it. Nine times.
Yo, if I could say that, I could continue fighting.
That's what I, that's exactly
if I could
what I
say
felt.
That, I could continue that's fighting. How I felt. It's only a headache if you're saying that.
That's the how crazy I felt. Part, too, it's he started off like, call it, call. And then when he realized, like, they're pinning in, he's just like,
I don't know if I say that to y'all, y'all gonna be like, yo, Butch, you a bitch. What are you doing? You can continue. If you're saying this to me right now, I know there's no y'all personally ever say that. Like, you can continue if you're saying that.
Yeah, yeah, bro, exactly.
There's like, no way.
You're talking to me right now.
As soon as they say that to me, I'm like, damn, you're right. If I'm saying this.
Yo, you're about to get crucified for this, by
I'm
the
just
way.
Saying,
I mean,
when we go back to the gym, I'm gonna have to bring you down. We're gonna have to see what you made.
Bro, every time you told me, I never said anything. I'm like, all right. I never talk. Like, you know what? If I can get out of it, I take it like a man. Like, you know what? I'm not gonna say I quit. Like, bro, I'm done. I'm just like, fuck it. I tap, like.
No. That kid has to live with that forever. I get what his corner's doing.
Call it.
It's a shitty position both ways because now his corner's gonna get shit on and keep getting shit on.
Call it. Call it. How's this not a meme?
He's gonna hit me.
Make it into a track.
I never knew he said that. As they said in the corner, he said something, but I didn't know what the hell he said.
He said, I don't wanna be here anymore. It's like, damn, where do you wanna be?
Where do you want to be? I don't want to be here.
I mean, he's in Vegas.
Where do you want to be?
Yeah, a lot of.
I don't want to be
here. He said he took an attendee notice.
Yeah.
Where do you want to be?
I wouldn't even. I don't know if I even do that either. Well, my first debut, I don't even know if I would do that.
Where do you want to be?
I mean.
He thought the money sounded good.
I don't want to be here.
I'm going to turn on Aljo's mic after this.
Where do you want to be, Steve? I don't want to be here.
That's the thing. That's on the coaches and the managers, too, though. 10 days notice.
Hey, man. This is an opportunity. This is a quarantine period where guys who don't have enough fights can get into the UFC because this whole quarantine pandemic bullshit. It's not, let me not say bullshit, but this whole quarantine pandemic overplayed up shit where the states have to follow these protocols, which
the media gasses everything.
Yes, and they deny us athletes chances to go work out in our normal situations where in a typical situation, these guys would not even be given the opportunity of day to perform. They would have to go through the contender series. They would have to fight, win on the regional circuit to get call in, or they would have to go through like the tough house or something like that.
And keep building up the record.
But unfortunately, in a situation like this where they're taking guys on last minute, and this is what I said. It's like, you guys want to see the best of the best in my best shape? And I said this in the beginning of the quarantine. Oh, if you're a real fighter, you will fight. Fighters fight. I'm like, one, how the fuck am I going to make weight? Two, you want to see a watered down version of myself, or you want to see the best version of myself who is trained with the elite of my gym and get myself well prepared to go fight another guy who's on top of his game, supposedly, you know? So this is what you get. This is what you get. It's not like, it's not the UFC's fault. No. It's not Max's fault. I don't blame Max whatsoever. But at the same time, it's like, damn, if you didn't know you were ready, if you knew you weren't ready, I didn't say he took his chance, he shot his shot, but it's like, damn, you pretty much embarrassed yourself. Yeah. And you tarnish your legacy, and that's going to be very hard to come back for.
100%.
Come back from, unless he wins the belt or goes on a ridiculous run where he takes out some big reputable names.
I don't feel too bad for him, to be honest. You know who I feel bad for? My man Favola.
Oh yeah.
My man Favola. I feel horrible for.
Good segue.
No, good. No.
Good segue.
Yeah, that Camacho fight. Fuck.
Yes.
Highlight reel knockout by Justin James. Beautiful knockout.
Awesome knockout.
I love the way he like leaned.
Yeah.
It looked like he was going for a takedown and came back and weaved that left hand. And then he came back and he did it again. And the second left hand landed.
Flush.
And like, bro, money. Favola could have done that all day.
No, I texted Ray immediately. I've been like, damn, they really just stole 50K from Favola.
Would have been 3-3.
Well, you're the man. If you're listening to this, you're the man right now.
Yeah, no. It's a shitty situation for him, but you know Matt knows there's nothing he can do about it, so it's
out of your control.
Yeah.
And for those who don't know, Billy Q, one of his quartermen, actually tested positive for the coronavirus. They retested him. He retested positive again, but everybody else in his corner tested negative. Favola actually has the antibodies for the coronavirus, and unfortunately, the Nevada State Commission decided not to give him the chance.
It's crazy.
To
Billy fought the last weekend.
Fought like 2 weekends ago,
and he
still
passed it twice. It's just
It's just one of those weird things.
I was hoping that, like, because we were out here, we're hoping an ideal situation. You were able because you cornered the week before that. You know,
and I texted Sean Shelby. I was like, dude, if I could corner him, please let me do it so we can save this guy.
Shut it down
and put on a show. He said, unfortunately, at this point, it's too late.
Yeah,
there's nothing I can do. So
the rules are the rules. I mean, I don't necessarily agree with them, but they are what they are, so you gotta follow them. But it is a shitty situation for everyone that kind of gets screwed by it, so what can you do?
Yeah, he should be able to get back in like August, I think he said. So that should work out. I think that was the last fight that at least I want to talk about. At least I don't know if you guys.
I don't even remember any of the other fights.
I was only interested in that card at first because of Favola.
Yeah, for the most, I stayed in Vegas for Favola.
Well, I don't know about that one. He stayed in Vegas for Favola.
What? No, no, no. Wait, what do you mean?
And this guy looked like he was having plenty of fun.
Listen, I would have stood in Vegas for Favola too.
Yeah, no, I would have stayed for Favola too myself.
Hey, especially when you get 50 G's.
Oh my gosh, the 2K.
Oh, I mean, media tour though. Right, media
I think
tour.
I need a loan real quick. I need a loan.
It was 1,000 because we split four ways.
That's heartbreaking.
Probably less than 1,000 because Al and I still have to do our split.
I don't want to warn you because I have about 5 minutes
left. Hey, no, you don't. You're hanging.
Some people got to actually train, all right? We can't all be chilling.
Wait, don't you got a fight coming up?
I do have a fight coming
up. Oh, shit.
Where are you fighting?
Not sure yet. August 8th. You know, nothing's official, but amateur promotion here in Long Island.
But wait.
How many weeks? What weight? First, what weight?
Well, this one's gonna be a catch weight at 140. I'm trying to slowly get down to 130. I know, man.
Ooh, you're trying to come for a bantamweight in particular?
It looks so easy. You know? That's what I'm saying.
Rob and I might have a problem with that.
So, you know, I was getting this one 140, see how I feel. If I don't like it, then I'll go back to 145. If I feel fine, then it looks like 135 is the next jump.
145.
Nice. Oh, my God. What does that mean? What do you say right now? My creatine this morning?
how many weeks out are you?
What are we in, June?
June 22nd.
About 7.
Okay.
Yeah. But, I mean, look, here's the thing. Like, too, you know, since Aljo's obviously had this fight, had this whole fight camp, but I've been training
non-stop.
Every day, yeah, like non-stop, so it really hasn't affected my schedule at all, quite frankly.
I don't know if training counts when Marab is just attacking you.
That's about, okay, you're right. I will say my cardio definitely went up, though, in terms of if a guy's trying to maul me, like,
Marab
I'm not too worried about it.
Marab just mauling this guy in the corner. I'm just like,
all
Steve,
the time.
Lee, get out of there.
Get out of there. It's
get
like,
out
so,
of there.
Aljo, I can't.
Question for you. How does training change via when you're helping him to train versus like when you're getting yourself ready?
I mean, it's just the focus is different. Like obviously when Aljo had the fight, it's, you know, all the focus is on Aljo. You know, this is 100%. A big giant fight for him, so we had to almost cater everything.
Life changing stuff, you know.
Yeah, you know, it worked out pretty well, obviously, so we gotta just cater to him. But now it's my, like, now since I'm the one fighting, you know, I try to have people more cater to me, so I try to work with people that I know are gonna work specific things that would help me out.
Do you have an opponent? Did they say they have a definite opponent?
Yes. It should be one of two people. It doesn't really, I mean, look, I'm not.
Yeah. No, I just want to make sure they have someone.
Yeah, they have people lined up. So.
And where's the location?
It's going to be out east. It's supposed to be an outdoor venue. Nothing's been confirmed though.
Oh,
but,
outdoor.
Yeah, outdoor venue.
I like outdoors.
Fight Island style. I like
okay,
it. You know?
Okay.
I can't wait.
Where can we get them tickets, man?
You know, come through me, you know, Steve Lee. It's at Team and We on Instagram.
Okay.
Just the plug. Okay, I like this.
Oh, good time for the team.
Dennis has a fight coming up too, September 1st, I think he said.
Dennis is excited, man. When, wait,
something
you said,
like that.
You said September 1st?
Something like that.
Okay,
so he's got
okay.
like 10 weeks. So we're all in training camp. Yeah. So today's a personal day for myself, clearly. I mean, bottoms up.
Ah,
but it's good that everyone's been training and kind of in the same, what do you call it? Same environment.
Yeah, same focus.
Same energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you know, the same energy that everyone was able to give me. But for me, my training camp is probably going to start closer to the end of this week because I got my boys coming over again on Friday. And after that, celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
One last hoorah. Get it all out of my system.
One
then back
hoorah.
On the horse. One last hoorah.
You might want to do a vlog for Friday. I'm just saying.
Vegas is different, though. They had quarantine.
Friday might be a movie,
different.
Man.
They had quarantine in Vegas.
Don't support
you hit
so.
That side button. Yep. Yeah, so everything so far so good. I like where everyone's at. So far, Sarah Longo is undefeated in just 2020. And is it on? Hit the top button. The top button. Boop. Hey, money. All
right. Well,
we should take this moment to announce the sponsors.
I did want to talk
about
you
got some new shirts.
Everything's on my website. I'm coming on that ass, and coming for that ass.
I'm not gonna lie, when you said that, I was like, major pause.
My mom was like, what's wrong with that boy?
That's what she said?
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. That's hilarious.
Man.
Yeah, I don't know what came over me, and I
no pun intended.
Realized.
No pun intended. No came over you. No pun intended.
Yeah. I immediately realized right after, wait, is it dead? And I was like, fuck. I was like, I can't believe I just said that like that. And
it's kind of funny though.
It was hilarious. Try to top bun. It's probably just dead, but it is what it is. And either way, man, I'm super excited for everybody. It's probably dead. I think it's dead. But so far, so good, man. The team's doing well. We're rolling through 2020. Everybody's on a high right now. Kind of like that tidal wave ripple effect. Everyone's kind of just riding that wave. And yep. We got Vellante fighting this weekend in Vegas.
Nice.
The last event in June. I did want to talk about like the protest stuff, but we'll save that for another day. Yeah. I think we went pretty long enough. We're about at 45 minutes at this point. So far, so good.
I say it was a great podcast, everyone.
We got to touch on a lot of stuff. And I'm just excited, man. You know, coming back home, catching up on obviously 3 weeks of work, mail, and just stuff with the house. We're getting a new countertops. We're getting a new cabinets. I'm excited about that. Stephen Lee thinks he's Ramsay Gordon. He's not Ramsay Gordon.
Gordon Ramsay.
He's not Gordon Ramsay. For anybody that's out there listening, he's not Gordon Ramsay. But he's okay.
Very, very good.
He's okay.
All right. Well, thanks for tuning in, people.
But
that's a wrap.
Other than that, what do we got? So we got Vellante this weekend and...
Yeah.
We had Al. Al was supposed to fight in August, but we don't know. We can't reveal too much about that. He was supposed to fight in August. We're waiting to see if his opponent will remain intact for that.
Okay.
He's still in Vegas. He gets back this Friday. So I'm excited to have him back home in New York. He's been gone for just about a month when it comes Friday.
He's still in Vegas, right?
He's still in Vegas. Yeah, living the dream.
Lucky man.
And he's buying a house in Vegas, and it might be on the same block as myself.
Okay.
Another couple houses down.
Four houses down. On a balcony, the same floor plan, so we'd be able to look out our balcony. He's like, yo, you got any beers? No. You got any beers? Yeah, come over. I'll be right there. Boom.
We got to go.
So we're going to bring all of our friends and family over. So
can't wait
anybody
to
who's out there, friends, fighters that got to train at the UFCPI, hit me up, hit Ally Quits up. My house is supposed to close in July, right before my birthday, or on my birthday. We'll see what happens, whichever comes first, and go from there. So other than that, thank you guys for tuning in. We got the Goon Squad.
Yeah, I got to go pee real quick. So, y'all, we got to close this up. I've been rolling for a while.
Go break your seal.
Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, the week is scratched. Thank you, motherfuckers. Funk Bandits, we out. Like, subscribe, and share that shit.
And remember,
peace.
We bring the noise because the people want the funk. Until next time, this is the Weekly Scraps. Bye-bye.